Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Planted Not Buried series. Today's message will help you see that God is with us even when it doesn't seem like it. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Who's ready for part 5 of Planted Not Buried? We are so excited about this. Get out your notes, get out your smartphones. We're about to go to a whole nother level today. This series is really exciting for me because so many people are getting the understanding that under does not mean over. That if you are a seed and you are planted, that it's the place where God does some of his best work. When nobody can see it, when nobody's around, when nobody's applauding you, sometimes it feels isolated. Sometimes it feels like the very environment that you're buried in. But I have found that a burial and a planting look similar. And if you don't have perspective, somebody say perspective. If you don't have perspective, you will call the same environment that God's making you in the environment that God tried to take you out in. And so today I want you to realize that you are planted and not buried. And we've been talking about different things, what to do when you're under. And today we're going to take it the next step. We talked about what to do when you're under fire. We talked about last week what to do when you're underfunded. And this week, the title of today's message is Planted and Undervalued. Because there are a lot of people that have stopped moving towards the thing that God has called you to do because you don't feel like the people around you value who you really are. There are people in here that have been serving, who have been faithful, who've been trying, but you feel like you have not been valued, that people don't see what God has placed on the inside of you. There are people in this room that feel underrated. They feel underestimated. They feel underappreciated. They feel played down and understated. And this could be as a parent, as a friend, as an employee, a son or a daughter. You feel like an underemphasized volunteer. You feel like a diminished leader. You feel like a minimized spouse. You feel downgraded, reduced, a glossed over pastor, or you even feel underpriced. You feel undervalued. And I'm coming to speak faith to you. If in any area of your life, you're feeling less than, you're feeling lower than, you're believing the lies of the enemy that maybe you should quit right now. I don't know why I'm preaching so hard in the first 4 minutes of this message, but somebody needs to understand that if God has you in a place that you are feeling undervalued, I believe that that is the same place that God can work a miracle and show you who you really are, to show you that you are more than a conqueror, to give you the ability to understand that what you are feeling right now does not sum up what God is going to do with your life. And there are people in here that have stopped and become paralyzed because you have been underappreciated. That you're waiting for somebody to validate you before you give your all. Come on, some of us work jobs right now where they know that you know you're not giving your all. Because you don't appreciate me. You don't value me. There's some parents in here that have been trying to do their best and their children never say thank you. And there's an emptiness that the enemy has been trying to convince you that is the place where you should just give up. But not today. I believe that there are some marriages that have been on the brink because your husband or your wife has not valued what you've brought to the table. And you say, well, God, maybe I just need to get a divorce. No, baby. I believe that God wants to inspire you to stay. Everybody shout at me, planted. Yeah, because when we feel undervalued, we think maybe if I come out of this and plant somewhere else, they'll value me. Maybe if I leave this school, maybe if I leave this job, maybe if I leave this thing, they'll value me more over there. But what I want to tell you is that nobody will value you if you don't value you. If you don't understand what you're worth and what God has placed on the inside of you and what you carry, people will always label you and tell you what you're worth, but you need to know that your value comes from God. And so today I want to talk to you about what to do when you're planted and you're undervalued. And I need you to understand this because we have to get perspective. You got to get perspective. And I want to take you to a story in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 29. I must warn you, today's message is textbook Jerry Springer episode season 7. Now, I know this side is saved and they've never watched Jerry Springer, but for the rest of us, this message today, the text, it's got kissing cousins, lies, pimp daddies, literally sisters fighting, baby mama drama. Everything is in this. I'm telling you, Genesis 29, you can read it. And I don't know if you've ever watched an episode of Jerry Springer or something, but there's always a dude in the middle of the drama be like, Jerry, I don't even know. I don't even know why they doing all this. You know what I'm saying? I love both of them. Okay. like that person in this story, his name is Jacob. Okay. And Jacob is in the center of all this drama that's happening. And Jacob falls in love with his cousin named Rachel. And I want you to see, because we're going to find a character in here who's been undervalued. And we're going to see what she does in this situation. And maybe if you're in an undervalued situation, or you maybe find yourself in an undervalued situation later on in your life, you will know what to do when you're planted, when you're close to God, but you're feeling undervalued. Look at Genesis 29, verse 16. It says, now Laban had two daughters. Okay, so Laban is Jacob's uncle. The older daughter was named Leah. Everybody say Leah. Leah. Okay, I want you to remember these characters. And the younger one was Rachel. Everybody say Rachel. Rachel. Okay, these are two sisters, Leah and Rachel. There was no sparkle in Leah's eye. That means she had a great personality, aka she was ugly. I just want you to interpret this scripture properly. When somebody is like, yes, she had no sparkle in her eye, that means you're ugly. But Rachel had a beautiful figure, pop, 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 and a lovely face. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, look who Jacob was in love with, Rachel. He told her father, I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me that fine piece of tenderoni over there named Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife. Agreed, Laban replied. I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and work with me. So Jacob worked for 7 years to pay for Rachel. That's how much he valued her. I don't know what she had going on, but he worked for 7 years for this woman, okay? But check this out. He said his love for her was so strong that it seemed to be but a few days. What did she do to him? Finally, the time came for him to marry her. Laban, I fulfilled my agreement. Now give me my wife so I can sleep with her. Hey, So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. Watch this. But that night, everybody say that night. In the dark. Watch this. When it was dark, Laban took Leah, the one that didn't have a sparkle, the older sister, he took her to Jacob and he slept with her. Laban had given Leah a servant named Zilpah to be her maid. But when Jacob woke up in the morning, yeah, you like that? Okay. It was Leah. What have you done to me? Jacob raged at Laban. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why did you trick me? Baby, 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 Jacob. This is Pimp Daddy. It's not our custom here to marry off the younger daughter ahead of the firstborn. But wait until the bridal week is over, and then we will give you Rachel two for the price of one. And you, if you promise to work another 7 years. So Jacob agreed to 7 more years. A week after Jacob had married Leah, Laban gave him Rachel too, and she also got a servant. So Jacob slept with Rachel too. Watch this. And he loved her much more than Leah. Or it could be say he valued Rachel more than Leah. Or it could be said that Leah was undervalued. Okay, I want everybody to get this picture. He then stayed and worked for Laban the additional 7 years. Today is a message for people who may have an area in their life that looks like Leah. That you're in an unfair situation, that you've been put at a disadvantage. You're mixed up in stuff you didn't even ask to be in. and you're feeling undervalued at your job, you're feeling insignificant at the things that God has called you, the people around you don't value who you are. And this is so crazy because a lot of times something you value is determined by how much it's worth. Or let me say it a different way, how much you're willing to pay for it. And Jacob was willing to pay 14 years of his life to be with Rachel. She must have been the most amazing woman in the world because he was willing to get tricked and work another 7 years just to be with her. But imagine how Leah must have felt to be sitting here married to a man that wouldn't give anything for her while she's watching him give up his everyday life for somebody else. It's so crazy that many times when we find ourselves in life situations, the situations that make us feel undervalued, somehow we seem tied to them. We seem like we can never get away from this job. Like we can never get away from this feeling, or we can never get away from our family's perception of us when we were younger. And yeah, I wild out, but that's not who I am anymore. But now they undervalue you because you made a mistake in immaturity. There's so many of us that find ourselves in undervalued positions, and what ends up happening is we convince ourselves and allow the enemy to convince us that maybe we can't move forward in those areas because nobody sees what God placed on the inside of you. Let me help you. Nobody has to see. See, when you are planted, there is so much going on underground that nobody's supposed to see. That God is working character in you and fruit into your life. And he's healing you so many times under the surface. But we have to realize that if nobody co-signs us, God still called us. We have to realize that it may not be that everybody will be able to praise you or pay you or see who you really are before you become it. But will that stop you? Because for Leah, it stopped her. She didn't know what to do because she felt undervalued. Imagine waking up every morning and the husband saying, honey, good morning, and you knew they weren't talking to you. Imagine going to a job that you know they don't want you at. Imagine going to a school where you know you're not supposed to be there and they remind you you're not supposed to be there. I just want everybody to see, Leah was undervalued. And some of us may say, that's not fair. Can I help you understand something? Life is not fair. We live in a fallen world, and if everybody got what they deserved, all of us would deserve hell. But thank God for his grace. But what ends up happening is what do we do when we feel undervalued in a marriage, a career, a relationship? You can't quit. I came to help somebody understand today because I've been feeling the burden all week that people were about to give up in a space because others did not value what God made in you that's valuable. You don't need anybody else to validate what God has placed inside of you. As long as he said it, he will be faithful to perform it in your life. And I want you to see what happens in Leah's life. Look at verse 31. I love this. It said, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, or let me say it a different way. When the Lord saw that Leah was in an undervalued situation, the man she was married to didn't even want her. Her sister was probably in competition with her from a very young age. She was in an undervalued situation. He enabled. Everybody say enabled. God enabled her to have children, and Rachel could not conceive. Let me give you my first point. When you're planted and undervalued, don't allow the pain to prevent you from producing. See, well, they don't want me here. I'm not supposed to be here. I've been disqualified. I don't have what it takes. And God says, I see you. That's what he told Leah. I saw that she was unloved. I saw that she was in a situation where she was undervalued. And I sent my grace, not to take her out of the situation, to enable her in the situation. He enabled her to produce even though she was in a situation that brought her pain. And so many times, us as believers, we equate pain with stop. Struggle, stop. Pain, stop. We get denied, stop. But as I find and read the word of God, obstacles are setups all the time for God to come through. And when we're in a situation where there is pain, discomfort, when we feel under, that may be the exact sign that you need to keep moving forward in your faith. And this young lady in an unfavorable situation, in a situation where she knew that she was not even wanted to be there, God said, I will give you grace, or the divine enablement, to be able to produce even when there's pain. I came to tell somebody today that God is going to give you the ability to grow even though. You're going to be able to grow even though they don't want you there. You're going to be able to grow. I hear the presence of God speaking to somebody. You're going to be able to grow even though you're underestimated. You're going to be able to grow even though you're underqualified. Well, God, I don't even know how I got this job. And they know I don't have the credentials. But you're there. And either you're going to make yourself die in a position that God has automatically called you to be fruitful in, or you're going to say, if God's called me to this, he's going to be faithful to empower me to do more than what I could do on my own. And I know. You've been trying to do it on your own. And you want everybody to clap for you every step of the way. But I'm here to let you know right now, external voices will never tell me my value. Because until I go back to the creator, a creator can only place value on what it made. And so many of us, because we don't have value, we have stopped. Because we let what somebody else told us wasn't good, what somebody else said we needed to do, what somebody else, what we believed when we saw and compared ourselves to somebody else. Well, if I'm going to be successful, I got to do this, 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 this. And God said, I use the foolish things. Yes. To make people who smart be like, how did that happen? But the thing I have to make you realize is, do not negate the season that you're in because it's painful. And stop producing. I want you to go to the job where don't nobody expect you to do nothing and be the best salesperson. God will give you ideas and witty inventions, and you pray in that place and you say, Father God, I'm yours. You can use me how else you want. He wants his glory to be seen. Everybody say, through me. Through me. Not at church. Yes. In the world. And so what I need you to understand is that many times as believers, we rather go sit in the corner and make God deliver us. Leah doesn't get delivered out of this situation. She produces in it. You, in this season, I prophesy to somebody that you, in this season, will have the ability and the grace to grow even though. Somebody said, I'm going to grow even though. Yeah, you don't even believe it yet. Look what happens in Leah's life. Genesis 29, verse 31. So Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Can I tell you how powerful this is? Because the one who had value couldn't produce. Rachel was the one that Jacob loved, but Leah was the one who was actually bringing value to the situation. She was discarded. Leah was discarded by the person she had attached her affections to, but she was the only one that could actually produce in this season. And she was discounting what God had placed in her because she was comparing herself to somebody else that was not her. And she was able to negate a season that God was producing in her to be something that she was never committed and supposed to be. Can I help you understand? Back in this time, to have a son was the most important thing you could ever do, because the family was carried on through the legacy of sons. And so she comes into the situation where she is undervalued, but she produces, and watch what happens. She said she became pregnant with the son. She named him Reuben. Oh my God, you having a boy, his name Reuben, okay. This is her friend, LaQuisha. And she said, what does Reuben mean? What does his name mean? The Lord has noticed my misery. And now my husband will love me. I want you to see what she did. She took a season where God was trying to make her fruitful, and she reminded herself of how unworthy she was. She named her child the pain that she was in. And she hoped that by producing this child, it would somehow make somebody who didn't see her value in the first place love her. She said, hopefully my husband will love me now that I've produced for him. And so many of us go to jobs and are in families and do different things, and we're producing hoping that we'll get the affection of a person. We're trying to be the best son and the best daughter and the best wife and the best husband, and we're trying to attach our identity to somebody who wouldn't even pay for us in the first place. She had started to find her identity in the man who didn't even want her. And how many of us go to jobs and die if we lose that job, and they will move on if you die? Like literally, you die. If you physically die, the job ain't gonna stop. And we go home stressed and mad at our husband and wife and frustrated with life over because we hooked our identity to something who doesn't even care about us. It doesn't matter how many sales you make and how many zeros you have. Your identity and your value cannot be found in what you do. It has to be found in who you are. And many of us have no concept. Like Leah didn't have a concept. So what she started doing is what all default humans do, is we attach what we do to who we are. And maybe if I do better, I am better. And maybe if I make more, I am more. And maybe if I have more, people will value me for what I feel like I truly am. And this woman, she has one child, and she didn't learn her lesson. She said, maybe my husband, the one who didn't value me in the first place because he didn't see that I was worth it at the beginning, maybe he'll love me. And then look what it says in verse 33. Soon, she became pregnant again. Oh, that wasn't enough. I didn't do enough for you. Let me produce some more for you. And she gave birth to another son. Oh my God, girl, you just having babies everywhere. Look at you. What you gonna name this one? What you gonna name this one? His name is Simeon. Okay, Simeon. I thought Sammy was better, but Simeon. Okay, girl. What does Simeon mean? The Lord has noticed and heard I was unloved and has given me another son. She again, for the second time, takes her blessing. Remember, her sister can't get pregnant. She takes her blessing and names it out of her pain. And many times that would be the trick of the enemy, is for God to be blessing us, but us to say that it's not enough because it's not something that we wanted, or God, maybe this will make somebody else love me or like me or all this other stuff. And this woman didn't learn her lesson, not just a second time, but a third time. Look what it says in verse 34. Then she became pregnant a third time. Oh my God, girl, you are a boy factory. You just be having these babies, pop, pop, pop. You having another son? Oh my God, lay hands on me. And she, what you gonna name this one? Oh, I probably already know. God has seen me, kill me now. Like, because, but think about it. She's only been connecting her pain to her value. And look what she names it. She was right. Surely this time, my husband will feel affection for me since I have given him three sons. What happens when enough never is enough? What happens when you can do everything you can to try to prove yourself to people and let them know you changed and try to prove it, but it's never enough? Point number two, I want you to see it so clearly. When you are planted and undervalued, produce on purpose, but not for approval. Stop producing for approval from people. Because so many of us are connected just like Leah was. Listen. She was getting her value from Jacob's validation. She thought if she produced more, she would be approved. But I need you to understand that nobody will be able to value you the way that God has valued you. This is a classic case of not knowing who you are. That's why you have to realize what you are worth. Because if you don't know what you're worth, somebody else will put their price tag on you. And so many of us are on sale and on clearance. And we all, come on somebody, we are settling for so much less than who we are and what God's placed us to be. And we'll take anything and we'll accept anything, but you are worth more. You are worth more than working at that job for the rest of your life answering to somebody else. You are worth more than that 2 a.m. booty call. I'm coming to your house. You are worth more. The problem is you don't believe it. And you can never convince somebody on sale that they are worth more if they've never seen anybody hold the standard. Can I help you? There's some name brands, clothing, that don't go under a certain price, even if it don't sell. Because we need you to know that we're worth more than what you would normally pay for. I'm here to tell you, as sure as I'm standing here today, that there are some people who have been settling for less because you didn't know that you were brand named. That the same material that makes tennis shoes for Payless is the same material that makes tennis shoes for Nike. But the problem is the branding. Payless put a value of $14.99 on their shoes. Nike, not because it's a different material, it's because of who the creator is and what check it has on it, has now taken a value of $179. And if you see some Nikes for $14.99, you think it's a counterfeit. Because you know that that product is worth more. Somebody say worth more. I need you to hear me preach this to you. That you are worth more than what somebody has labeled you. You are worth more than the mistake you made. You may be undervalued by everybody else, but they can't set your value because they didn't create you. I'm trying to tell you that God has made you. Everybody say worth it. Find three people and say, you're worth it. You're worth it. Encourage somebody. Prophesy to them. You're worth it. See, the problem is, I feel the presence of God because somebody's about to understand. Somebody's getting out of a relationship today where you've been settling for less. Some of y'all are going to start your business plan today. You ain't just going to leave your job, but you're going to start this business plan. Because you say, I'm worth more than that. Y'all not going to play me for 7 years. Some of y'all are going to make a decision that you're worth it. You've been undervalued. And let me tell you a secret. You'll keep being undervalued until you believe you're worth more. Yes. Who cares what your parents thought you were worth? Come on. Who cares what your friends told you were worth? Yes. Who cares what lie you believed? See, because honestly, there's some of us that believed a lie at one point and now the lie has become our identity. Like people say stuff like, I'm shy. No, you were hurt at one point in your life. It affected you. And now you actually have in you the ability to get up here and do what I'm doing or go to the nations, but you believed a lie. And now it has created your identity. And now when somebody asks you, who are you? It's like, I'm just a reserved, quiet, what? No, you're not. You're loud and obnoxious. And God put that in you, and he wanted to refine it and define it so you could be, but you believed the lie. And I'm coming here to spark somebody's faith to reclaim your worth. I'm telling you, there are marriages in this place that are supposed to help other marriages out of your pain. You're supposed to produce out of your pain, but you've believed the lie that nobody's going through this. And you've believed the lie that if they really know what's going on, then nobody will. Do you know that people relate to your authenticity? Do you know that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness? I'm telling you that you're worth it. And Leah still didn't get it because she hadn't read Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23, you need to remember this. It says work willingly. So for everybody that thought they was going to be lazy and be like, I'm just going to sit in my room and seek the Lord until he may be found. No, work. See the first word of that, work. And we got an attitude adjustment. We're not going to be mad. We're not going to be frustrated. We're not going to be walking around, you don't see my value. You don't see my value. You're not going to do that. You're going to work willingly at whatever you do. So if you're the cafeteria lady or you are the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, whatever you do, you are going to do it as though you were working for the Lord. Why it doesn't matter what you value me at is because you really not in charge of who I am. You can pay me what you think I'm valued at, but you'll never be able to pay me what I'm worth. I need somebody to understand that right now. Because I'm not doing this job for you, and I'm not serving my family to get a well done from you, and I'm not giving so the pastor can say you're a good gift. I'm doing everything I do as unto the Lord. That's why integrity is such a big deal. You don't do a good thing on the platform where everybody can see. God sees when you cut the corner and you cut the person off and flip them off on the side. He see that. Somebody said, oh my God. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. And look, he put this part in here for the remedial people like me, because I was like, okay, everything as unto the Lord. Okay, yeah. And he said, remember. No. He said, do everything as you're working for the Lord rather than for people. So either, here's your dynamic. Either I'm doing this for God or I'm doing it for people. These are your only two options. Either I'm going to be a good husband so my wife can think I'm a good person, or I'm going to be a good husband because I'm doing this as unto the Lord. So that means when she gets on my nerves, I will still take out the trash. Because baby, this ain't even for you. I'm telling you, somebody's gonna get it. You done made me frustrated, and I wanna rip this presentation up, but I'm about to present it with joy, because I am not doing this for you. I'm doing it for the, oh, y'all better hear me. You gonna start walking away saying, this ain't for you. Like, I need you to remember. Look what verse 24 said. Everybody say, remember. This is the battle of your life. To remember that the Lord, not your job, not people, not relationship, the Lord will give you an inheritance as a reward. Your reward comes from God. And that the master you are serving is Christ. I could preach that for an hour. All I need you to know is that if you're getting your value from anybody else other than God, you will always feel undervalued. Because nobody has put the price tag on you to be able to even come close to what God's placed inside of you. So you can't even work as unto people. Everything I do, why I prepare messages, why I love my family, why it's not because of the check I get, and it's not because y'all come. Y'all can leave tomorrow and I would be good. Because my value is not in what I do. My value is in who I am. And many of us cannot separate what you do and who you are. That's why when you meet somebody, the first thing you ask them is, what do you do? What you do? And some of us be fabricating the most amazing names. Like, y'all know those people, I am a sanitary collection agent. You mean you pick up trash? Like... Because somehow, if I don't do something well enough, or I don't do something that has a status, I'm not. But I can pick up trash, but baby, I'm treasure. Do you understand what I'm saying? I like what I do and and who I am are disconnected. The only problem is many believers, people who have said the prayer, who come to church, do not know their identity in Christ. And so where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And so many people are letting the enemy tell you and suggest to you what you are. You're greedy. No, I'm not. Well, maybe I am. You're scared of the future. I'm not scared, I'm just a planner, but maybe I'm scared of the future. Because you don't know who you are. But somebody say, I am. That song they sang today, I am who you say I am. I don't know, I was in worship and I start getting gangster. I was like, I am chosen. I am, like, I was like, because how many times do we forget who we are? There are certain things that you need to know. And I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to give you some scriptures right now to let you know I am. I need you to say it with your chest. Somebody say, I am.
I am.
Somebody say, I am accepted. What you need to know according to John 1:12 is I am a child of God. According to Ephesians 1:3-8, I am chosen by God. According to Colossians 2:9, I am complete in Christ. Somebody shout at me, I am.
I am.
I am secure. I am free from condemnation. According to Romans 8:1-2, I am established and planted. According to 2 Corinthians 1:21, I am confident that things are working for my good. Somebody shout at me, I am. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this place. You got to know that no matter what anybody external says, who you are. Somebody again shout at me, I am. Yeah. Somebody, it's starting to break through somebody's fear right now. It's starting to break through somebody's doubt right now. Some of you need to know I am significant. I know your family didn't value you. You were the black sheep of the family. You were the one they didn't pay for the college. You're the one that had the setback, but I am significant. And you need to believe that right now. According to 1 Corinthians 3:16, I am God's temple. He could have chosen any other vessel to live into, but he thought enough of me to take his residence in me. I am God's house. You need to know that I am God's workmanship. Every curve, let me stop. Every wrinkle and dimple. I am God's workmanship. I don't have to be what you say I am. I am God's workmanship. I am equipped to do this. According to Philippians 4:13, somebody shout at me, I am valued.
I am valued.
Say it again, I am valued.
I am valued.
It's probably the first time many of you have ever said it. You've accepted whatever the people in authority over you have told you you were. So if you're a parent and you told your kids, you're just nosy. And remember, God doesn't plant trees, he plants. So it's a parent's job to help cultivate the seeds that you, so nosy was code, was sin nature, for somebody who was trying to actually be investigative and help people do it. You just want to know the business. No, I want to get to truth. And we shut things down in people at a young age. We shut things down in people because we don't want to cultivate. But what you got to realize is God's reclaiming some of your value today. And you're going to say, no, every part of me, everything God made, submitted back to him is something he wanted to be there. It's something that he desired to be there. And I am valued. And Leah still didn't know it. She had no clue that she was accepted by God. And I remember this story that happened with my mom. Some of you guys know that I was a music producer, and that was the world that I was in before I did pastoring. And so I was at the beginning of really starting to get into my craft, and I didn't really value myself. Like, I knew I was good, but I didn't think that you should really pay me yet because I improved myself to a lot of people. And so I committed to do this entire project. I think it was 12 or 13 songs. And I committed to do this whole project, 7 months worth of work, for $500. Y'all was making like 2 cents an hour. Like, and I came downstairs one day to the kitchen. I'll never forget it. I was so frustrated. I was like, I'm about to give up. Like, this is crap. My computer was messing up and all this other stuff. And my mom looked at me. She says, what are you making? And if you know Brenda Todd, she's intense about everything. She said, what are you making for this project? I said, $500. She said, oh my God. She said, you're only making $500. I said, yes, ma'am. And I'm sick of it. I'm about to give up. And I will never forget this. She said, son, you can never let somebody set a value on you when they don't know what you have inside of you. If you don't tell them what you're worth, they'll pay you whatever you believe you're worth. And all I thought I was worth was $500. And something in me rose up. I said, you know what? We 7 songs in. We got some more songs to go. I went because I started to recognize my worth. And I renegotiated the last part of the record. I said, I know I told y'all that this is how much I was worth, but I had a wake-up call. And for the rest of these songs, I need $500 a song. Do you know the funniest thing happened? They paid it. Because it wasn't until I believed I was worth more. And I just believe that this is the season where some of you gonna say, what I've done in the past, you can have that. But I'm telling you, from here on out, my price just went up. I'm worth more than you think I am. I'm worth more than just talking to me any kind of way. I'm worth more than not claiming me in front of people. I'm worth it. Somebody shout, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
But if you don't believe it, they'll never believe it. But think about it. Think about it. It was a cycle of being undervalued. Because Leah wasn't valued by her father. Remember, he tricked her and Jacob and took her at night. He wasn't even proud enough to present her to Jacob in the daylight. So she was undervalued by her own family. Then she was undervalued by her husband. Said, I'll pay 14 years for her. You can come along if you want to. Think about it. But the saddest truth of this whole story is she undervalued herself to where she named every one of her children based on her pain. But something happened. There was a shift in Leah's life between child 3 and child 4. Now, I don't know if somebody sent her a link to Planted Not Buried and she realized that under doesn't mean over. I don't know. But something happened. Because remember, this is Genesis 29, verse 35. Remember, she named her son Reuben. The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me. Simeon, the Lord has heard I was unloved and has given me another son. Levi, surely this time my husband will feel affection for me. And since I have given him 3 sons, she attached her identity not to who she was in God, but into what she could produce for somebody who didn't love her. But watch what she named her 4th son. It says, once again, Leah became pregnant. Laquisha, oh my God, you pregnant again. Let me guess. You're going to name this one Spawn of Satan because God hates me. Just think, because she's been morbid this whole time. But something happened. She said she became pregnant and gave birth to another son. And she named him Judah. And if you know anything about names, Judah means praise. And she said... Now, I remember she said all these negative things last time. Look what she says this time. She said, now. Somebody say now.
Now.
It don't matter what happened before. At this moment, right now. Somebody shout at me now.
Now.
Look what she says. I will praise the Lord. I need you to get this in your mind. It does not matter who has not valued you up until this point. I am unhooking my value, my self-worth, and everything about me that's been trying to get likes and favors from you. You have now been dismissed. I have made a decision now that everybody shout at me, I will.
I will.
Do you realize that her situation didn't change, but her decision did? God will not always change your situation, but he will give you an opportunity to change your position. She said, I am not going to stay in misery and frustration. Now I will praise. This means she still was undervalued, but decided. Everybody said decided. She decided to praise God no matter what. So I'm not going to praise him. I'm not going to praise them. I'm not going to praise my sons no matter what comes. Every time God allows me to be fruitful, every time I produce, I am not going to praise anybody else except God. And I came to encourage somebody that is in this place who has been undervalued. If you have been undervalued, my last point is turn your pain into praise. I dare you to get in the middle of the situation where they don't want you, though I feel the presence of God, and they don't want to value you, and you are underdeveloped. And I want you to say, like David said in Psalms 34, he said, I will. Somebody shout at me, I will. Bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. The humble will hear it and think of his goodness. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I dare you, if you are in this place and you've been undervalued in any way, I dare you at this moment to turn this place into a praise party and forget about what has happened and turn your pain into praise. Shout unto God. Oh, you patty caking God, you want to stay here, but my value is connected to my Father. Cut the music, because you're not going to have a band to praise when you get in your car. Come on, forget about your neighbor. Turn your pain into praise. God, I'll magnify you. I'll bless you. I'll lift you up. You're good, Father. Yeah, I know it's different. I know, because they may not like you on Instagram, but you're approved by God. They may not call you, but God's already called you. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? I'm in an undervalued situation like Leah. But the crazy thing about her situation is that when she decided to praise, the Bible says she stopped having children. She said, oh, what I do and who I am are disconnected. Oh, I don't have to have kids to throw this into a praise party. Like, oh, I don't have to keep producing and giving my life away for a job that won't even appreciate. I don't have. And this is funny, if you keep reading on, she'll have more kids eventually. But all the names of her two other sons and her daughter changed to things that bring God glory. Because she was no longer producing for approval. And I know you be trying to be cute and doing all this stuff, but you're trying to get somebody to clap. And God said, I already made you beautifully and wonderful. I've already called you. Even though it's not your time to get on a platform yet, you're still in purpose. So Pastor Mike, what do I do? If I'm planted and I'm undervalued, just turn your pain into praise. Just at all times when you're driving up to that job tomorrow that you know they're going to act a fool with you, you just say, God, I give you glory. God, I praise you right now. God, I'm about to go in here with these demons. Lord, I thank you. You better hear me. God, I thank you that you allow me to be light in the midst of darkness, that your kingdom would be established. Yeah, you're undervalued. But maybe that's the exact place God wants you, so that you can learn and get back your praise. Some of us have lost our praise because we were in a situation that was dark and we felt undervalued. Maybe that's the place. No, you're not playing on the team no more. Yeah, you hurt yourself. Yeah, they gave away your scholarship. Yeah, they gave somebody else the promotion. But why don't you get back your praise in the meantime? Allow God to turn your situation around. Let me pray for you, Father. Come on, hands lifted all over this place. Father, I thank you that you see us. You see us. We're out here saying, Father, some of us feel undervalued in our marriages, in our homes, on our our jobs and our careers. But today, Father, we are divorcing and unhooking our identity from what we do. And we know that we are children of God. I thank you today that somebody's getting their faith back, that somebody's getting their understanding back, that somebody's gonna know that they are not what they do, but they are called by you. Holy Spirit, I cast out all fear. And I thank you that we will be living for the approval of one. We want your well done. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Father, right now, we turn our pain into praise. And we'll give you a shout in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God some praise in this.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.